Hey everyone, this is Steve Miller, host of VOA's International Edition. Over the weekend, North Korea angrily walked away from working-level nuclear talks with the United States, prompting Pyongyang's top negotiator to say that he was greatly disappointed with Washington's inflexible approach. The quick breakdown in the first substantive nuclear negotiations in months raises the possibility that North Korea will intensify its provocations, just days after testing a new medium-range ballistic missile designed to be launched from a submarine. Now, to put things into broader perspective and just where denuclearization talks may go from here, I spoke with Harry Kazianis, Senior Director of Korea Studies at the Center for the National Interest. So, Harry, I want to begin here. You know, North Korea is saying that they are very disappointed with the United States at the result of these working-level talks in Sweden over the weekend. Where do you see things going here, and is the North Korean statement really all that much of a surprise?
Well, where I think we're going to is the absolute brink. What the North Koreans are doing is actually playing, I think, a very dangerous game of diplomatic chicken, which, in all honesty, could blow up in their face. I think what the North Koreans have decided is I think they feel that President Trump has been weakened by all the talk of impeachment here in Washington at the moment. And I think they feel like this is their chance to extract maximum concessions, if you will, from Washington. And that is very possible. I can understand why they would think that. I mean, obviously, the president is going to most likely be impeached with charges being brought up in the Senate, probably will be acquitted, but that will damage him politically quite significantly for a long time. So the North Koreans might feel that this is the opportunity to try extract as much as they can from Washington. However, this is President Trump we're talking about, and he doesn't operate by all the same conventional political rules that a lot of other presidents have used. And that might be the opportunity where he decides to say, forget all of this, and to actually push back on the North Koreans. If that is what does happen here, if the North Koreans do essentially miscalculate, we could be back to the days of fire and fury in 2017 and nuclear threats. I hope that doesn't happen, but that's where the trend lines, I think, point to.
Is as you said, this is, you know, a brinkmanship game between Pyongyang and Washington. Is this another attempt to try and solidify a direct contact, another summit between Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump, the U.S. president, because it seems that, you know, Pyongyang really wants to have that top level kind of communication rather than these working level talks?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist, no pun intended, to figure out who the weakest sort of diplomatic person in this whole game is, and that's Donald Trump. I think if I'm Kim Jong-un, I'm going to stall in these working-level talks. I'm going to do everything I possibly can to get that meeting with Trump, knowing that he's probably the least informed player in the whole game, and to try to get concessions directly out of him. However, I don't think that strategy is going to work this time. President Trump right now, as we can all see through his Twitter feed, is completely obsessed with the impeachment process. In fact, he didn't tweet anything about North Korea over these last few days when talks broke down. So I think that's a very clear signal to show that Trump, while I think he's interested in the North Korea problem, he's much more concerned right now about his own domestic political problems than anything else. I think for him, Korea is sort of a sideshow at the moment, which is terrible considering the stakes involved. But I think Kim would be very, very mistaken to try to get that next fourth meeting with Trump. And Trump has actually already said that if he was to have a meeting with Kim, he'd want to know, quote unquote, what he would get out of it or something like that. So I don't think Trump is as eager to have that meeting as Kim would be.
If we take a look at the developments on the peninsula, North Korea had another missile launch. It's widely suspected that this is an advancement of their submersible ballistic missile capabilities. What does that do to the situation in and around the peninsula?
Well, I think at the moment, I think a lot of people have been very nervous and upset about this, but I think we have to look at the technology involved. I mean, we have to be honest, this is 1950s, early 1960s technology at best. The United States has had submarine launched ballistic missiles for decades. So have the Russians, Chinese, many other countries now. So it isn't necessarily a shocker that they've been able to develop this. They've been working on it for decades. But I think the thing is, it adds one more complexity to the North Korean nuclear problem. The United States is now going to have to devote resources, anti-submarine warfare capabilities, things that we've had in that space, you know, during the Cold War, but we're going to have to sort of relearn those lessons and bring those assets back to bear in the region. So it's another complicator. I think in the months and decades to come, that is going to be a capability the North Koreans are going to wheel out. The thing I am worried about probably most immediately, though, is the North Koreans will probably test more missiles in the coming weeks to push the envelope on Washington. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if they did another submarine test, or they could actually do a medium-range ballistic missile test from land. And I think they're going to continue to show to Washington all the capabilities that their scientists have been working on really since the end of 2017. Because just because you're not testing missiles in the air doesn't mean you're working on them in the lab.
You mentioned, you know, showcasing the developments they've made and their missile technology. You know, one of the tests that North Korea carried out was suspected to be a variant of a cruise missile type vehicle that could possibly skirt underneath the U.S. missile defenses and South Korean missile defenses on the southern half of the peninsula. We now have this, you know, suspected submarine launch capability that North Korea may have and is continuing to develop. And this is coming at a time when Japan and South Korea are having very difficult ties. South Korea has initiated the process that said that it wants to withdraw from the information sharing pact the two governments have, yet, you know, just recently requested direct contact, you know, with Tokyo to get information about this last test. So where do you see, you know, the greatest risks on the peninsula from a defense standpoint and a regional security standpoint?
Well, I think there's two. I think the first thing is this North Korean buildup of missile capabilities. And essentially what they've done is essentially copied the Chinese model of a military buildup. They don't obviously have the resources that Beijing does, but let's face it, you're not going to take on the United States one-on-one in a military contest. You can't build aircraft carriers or F-35s if you're North Korea, but what you can do is build lots of cheap munitions to do as much damage as you can as fast as you can. And that's what all these different cruise missiles and different types of missile platforms do. You can hit U.S. bases, troops, aircraft carriers, whatever target you want that's fixed, and do a lot of damage very, very quickly. And that's something the United States is going to have to deal with. And it's not going to be easy. You can build all the missile defenses you want, but you could bankrupt yourself at the same time by doing it, because missile defenses are infinitely more expensive than the actual missiles you're going to defend against. I would also say, too, that the Trump administration has made a huge mistake not getting involved in the diplomatic spat between Seoul and Tokyo. The best way that you're going to be able to contain the North Korean threat is a robust set of alliances that can counter North Korea, that can enforce sanctions, but can also offer the best concessions if North Korea is truly serious. And you have to admit, Kim Jong-un is loving the fact that Seoul and Tokyo are at loggerheads, that they're having trade disputes. And the Trump administration has done nothing to try and bring them to the table. You can say whatever you want about in political spaces about the Obama administration's strategy in Asia, but you have to admit, the Obama administration did work hard to bring Seoul and Tokyo to the table when they had problems. And I think that's something the Trump administration can learn from.
Harry Kazianis is the Senior Director of Korean Studies at the Center for National Interest. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
For a look at the day's news, listen to International Edition every Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on the Voice of America. Until next time, I'm Steve Miller in Washington. Have a great day.